Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Y'all on the show this morning.
Great to be here.
Yeah, they've got a great ministry. Amanda goes around and sings worship at different events. She has an amazing voice and really reveals Christ to people. And I'm gonna go ahead and let these two start with their testimony. Mitch, you can start your testimony if you like.
My testimony is I've just always been in love with Jesus. He showed up to me as a young child, and I just fell in love with him. All I can remember is loving Jesus and just wanting everybody else to see and experience him as I did. Even as a kid, he used to show up and talk with me, and we had that communication like a father and son. And I just like to share with people how much Jesus isn't really a dictator as much as he's a lover and a friend. Somebody that we can be real with and just be open and honest with, not that we just have to always plead and beg his forgiveness, but he's there he's there to walk with us hand in hand on everything that we do.
Amen.
And he's healed me numerous times of all sorts of crazy things the doctor said I would die from in hours or days, and he's healed my heart twice.
Yes.
And he gave me a great wife and a great family with three great kids and a great ministry. We just get to go around and share the love of Jesus all around America. This time we believe we're going to be able to go around the world and just share the good news of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. That's awesome, Mitch. Now, Amanda, tell us a little bit about your testimony.
Well, I've always had a love for music, even when I was younger. My testimony is a little different. I didn't grow up knowing him. But when I was about, 16, literally I was so burnt out already by the age of 16 with drugs and partying and, just running from myself, running from who I knew I was supposed to be, but didn't really understand the concept of it. And then I met Mitch at a youth service. And God really just encountered my life. I encountered him in such a way that I never picked up anything else that was not of him. And obviously he just began teaching me. The Holy Spirit came into my heart, and he began teaching me the meaning of worship right away. I used to get really frustrated with myself because I felt like I couldn't play worship how most people play worship. You know, I was really comparative, which comparing yourself to others really steals your joy because we're all different, we're unique, we have different sounds and just different ways of expression. And so the Holy Spirit began to teach me that he didn't create me to sound like someone else. He didn't create me to be an echo of someone else. So when I'm in worship and I'm praying and I'm singing out to him, it's so intimate to me. And I just, really want to express the Father's heart in the moment to his children, wherever we're at ministering, even in worship. I feel like the prophetic, we really think that prophetic worship is spontaneous, and that's not the case. Prophetic is really having an intimate relationship with the Father's heart. And so in prophetic worship, it's releasing truth. It's releasing truth in the atmosphere and truth over situations and in people's hearts. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I know you, Amanda, actually sung at our South Carolina event. It was actually, getting people out in the street and doing evangelism on the street. And I heard her sing, and it was amazing. I mean, we didn't get to have the whole banner like we want to, but with what we had, it was amazing. And I got to meet Mitch, and I found out that they was a ministering team. She sings, and he evangelizes. And I was like, cool, I got to have these two on the show. And it's amazing to have, a ministry family where you work as a team, because there's a lot of ministries that's not like that. The husband could be the only one that's the minister, and the wife does her own thing, and the kids are off in the world, but the husband's really holding his own trying to keep, keep preaching the word of God, and then, it can get crazy, but it's amazing when the whole family's on the right track. And there's a guy that was there at the event, his name's Zoe, and his family's the same way. I mean, even his kids pray for people too. I was like, we got some amazing families around here. Mine does too. I've been teaching my family to walk in this too, but it's amazing to have your whole family on track. And I really believe when you get your family mixed into the ministry, it helps them grow and lets other people see what your family is doing for the community. Because when Christ redoes your family, and refreshes your family, the community sees what you're doing, and they want to be like that. They want to come in too. So, I mean, if you got like one husband that's doing this in the family, going on with that, when the whole family is combining together and walking
right.
in the shoes of Christ, that's what changes people. That's what changes the community.
Yeah.
That's what changes that people see what's going on, and that's very amazing. Now, Mitch, when did you get into evangelism?
It depends on what you're talking about, because I used to preach to my stuffed animals at 6 years old.
There you go.
I don't just remember always wanting to share Jesus, and I had, when I was real young, like 7 or 8 years old, I used to have dreams about family members and people that I've never seen before going into hell, and Jesus would ask what I'm going to do about it. So even at 12 and 13 years old, I remember doing stuff, but especially when I got my driver's license, I remember just going out and buying food and taking it to local communities and just giving it out to the kids and giving them toys and stuff and just telling them that it was Jesus, not me, that was doing it. It was Jesus because he loved them, and he just wanted to express himself to them. So pretty much my whole life, because, I mean, in my mind, that's all that life is, because, you know, it says to live is Christ, to die is gain, and I'm looking forward to being martyred like anybody else is, but the fact of everyday life is what changes the world. It's the fact that if we can live our everyday and show Jesus through our very actions, through our very eyes, and the way that we treat and act people, then we can change the world like that.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's really neat, because in everything in your life shows Christ. I mean, just going to the store, opening the door for a little old lady or for anybody, yeah, and just being nice to somebody, that shows Christ. You don't got to go and grab a Bible and slam it over their head every time. It's just
right.
The little things that you do in your life, and like just saying something nice to the cashier or something, you know, it just shows Christ. And I really believe that a lot of people take this to a drastic measure, and they think this is too hard for us to do, that we've got to go out here and learn 151 scriptures and recite them to everybody we know. It's not like that. It's just showing love. That's what Christ did. He showed love to people. And
yes.
That's why I really feel that we all should do, is just show love to people. And, you know, you need to get in the Word. You need to know the Word. But you need to show love to people, you know. And And that's just the walk. And the way you were talking there, Mitch, man, I mean, he started you off real young, man, talking to you when you was a child, and you started evangelizing over your teddy bears and stuff. Now, what type of supernatural things did you see when you was a child with the Lord? Did he show you different things, or what did he do with you?
Well, I mean, I've seen, of course, the usual, you know, a visitation or so from Jesus, and angels and demons at the same time. I would see both. I had lots of experiences with demons as a child until, I mean, it was just Jesus was showing me at a young age of how to have more authority than they have. You know what I mean? Even at a young age, he instilled in me that we're the winning team. That they've already lost. They're just trying to, you know, to confuse people and show people that, you know what I mean? Just try to confuse and bring fear and confusion. And Jesus was showing me even at a young age that it's not so, that his team wins and we have all authority. I mean, I believe in fasting and prayer. We believe in that stuff because, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to know scriptures. It's one thing to even show love, but it's another thing to be so close to Jesus that everybody around you feels Jesus without you saying anything.
Amen, amen. Now, Amanda, when you got into leading worship, I mean, how did you get started in that? Did the Lord come on you with this, or just give you a gift, or how did that work?
Well, my grandmother, when I was about 5 years old, she had an open vision of me playing the piano in front of thousands of people. And any time that I would really rebel, she would remind me of that vision. And, you know, I didn't really understand what it meant or anything like that. And so when I came to the Lord and I started out, you know, trying to learn the keyboard, and again, for probably about 2 years, I got really frustrated because when I would try to play worship music, you know, like your contemporary songs and things like that, I got frustrated because I couldn't play like how they played. And that's just when he began to take me through a season of allowing me to express myself and for him to express himself through me. And that's really, I really went through what they call the school of the spirit in worship. And it wasn't easy. There are many times where I was, like, fed up and I was like, I just can't do it. I can't even play fast music. I can't, you know, all those things or whatever, but he would never let me get away from it. And one of the things that he told me that always stuck with me and still does today, he said, if you can't worship me alone in a room somewhere where there's nobody around, then he's like, you can't, then you can't really worship me in front of people. So he really taught me what it meant to be a radical worshiper when there's nobody watching. So that really is what trained me and just made me just fall in love with him even more. That's where a lot of the authority and boldness comes from when it comes to worship for me, is just the radical love that he expressed for me. And it's just an exchange. It's a beautiful exchange, especially in the prophetic worship, because really what it is he's expressing his heart to us, and then it's a beautiful exchange where we just express our hearts back to him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we got to build, I guess what he's saying is you got to build a relationship at home,
yes.
in your closet first before you can really worship out. And that's the biggest thing is you got to build that relationship. And a lot of people, I really feel that a lot of people don't understand it. They think they go to church and that's the relationship, and then they go home and turn on their football game. That's not relationship.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's the passion. I've been asked a lot of times, I even when I'm not leading worship, I'm a worshiper. A lot of times I tell people, I'm not really a worship leader, I'm just a worshiper. And so even if I'm not leading worship, I'm still radical in worship because I'm passionate about expressing the love that he's given to us, the love that he shows us every day, and the grace that he shows us, even in the things that we can't see, especially in like hard trials and times and things like that, we don't walk by sight, and so even in worship and prayer and praise, it's just expressing what we know is truth. That's what I love, even in, the Old Testament, when they came together in one accord without regard to division, all they would express is his loving kindness is everlasting. And then the glory would fill the temple to where they couldn't stand to minister, but it's because they were, even in worship, speaking truth. They were agreeing with who the Father is. And if that doesn't light you up, I don't know what does.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's, when you build up relationship and you go and worship, I know even the Word of God, it says you can't worship God if Jesus ain't came to you. If he didn't choose you, you can't even worship. And what's so awesome is you can see in some of these churches, some of them is not spirit-filled, and they just stand up and sit down. They don't understand worship. But when you're in the Spirit, like you're talking about, you understand worship because God is in you. He is working through you.
Yes.
Your soul is yearning for the Lord. And that's why there's a lot of people that don't understand worship, because the Lord you got to be spirit-filled to do this. It's just not something automatic. You've got to be spirit-filled. And when you get spirit-filled, you understand that because you love to worship. It ain't something like, oh, man, here we go again. You love to do that. You enjoy worship. It ain't something that is a task you got to do every Sunday morning. It's something that you want to do all the time. You'll turn on worship music and just worship. With you being a worship leader, it most likely it comes natural all the time that you're constantly in that mode. And that's awesome. What has happened in y'all's ministry? I mean, when y'all are worshiping, have y'all had miracles? Any unique things that's happened?
Yeah, definitely. We've had, people get set free. Words of knowledge come forth and healing. I remember this one service we were ministering at and during worship while I was playing the keyboard and just, worshiping the Lord. I started getting this really bad left shoulder pain to where I almost couldn't play. And I said, wait a minute, Lord, that's not me. And he said, no, it's someone in the room. So, you know, I shared with the congregation and the people that were there. I said, you know, there's someone here who's, you know, dealing with left shoulder pain. And, you know, I said, whoever it is, just lift your hands because he wants to take that burden from you. And they lift their hands, and immediately it was taken away. You know, just, you know, things like that. I think one of the greatest things that I've seen in worship is seeing people connect with the Father's heart and agreeing with who they are, and the reconciliation that comes with that. That is something that really stirs my heart, is when I see people connect with their identity in worship and connect with the Father's heart for me. So I don't know about Mitch, but I'll let him share.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I know we've seen a lot of things in worship, but the greatest part about worship is the fact that you don't really get to, no person gets any glory for anything, because it's just the congregation worshiping Jesus, so he's free to go around and do whatever he wants to do without any hindrance of somebody saying, well, I feel this is happening or this is happening. It's just when the congregation becomes one with the Spirit of Heaven, and it's just flowing, and there's just healing flowing and happening. So the greatest thing about it is you don't hear about it until later. You don't hear about the fact that somebody got set free or somebody just had an encounter or a vision with Jesus. A lot of the things we hear back is just the fact that people during the time of worship had received visions. They had just Jesus had taken them to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nobody knew about it because they were in their spot. Worship was going on. It was them, and there's no time to it. It's just them and Jesus, and they feel free to just express themselves however they want to Jesus, and he receives that quite well.
Yes. I had experience one time last year. We were in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and we had never been there. We were at I believe it was a 10-day tent gathering of 24/7 worship for 10 days worship and prayer. And it was one of the last nights, and I had gotten up and started just singing out a prophetic word and just agreeing with the Father's heart. They were singing this song about, you know, holy visitation. And it really started stirring in my heart, and the Lord told me, he said, get up there. He said, I want you to tell my children that I don't want to visit, that I want to inhabit. And so I did, and at the end of the night, we're getting ready to leave, and this woman came up to me. Now, keep in mind, I'd never been to Goldsboro, North Carolina, you know, had never been there or knew anyone from there. She came up to me and said, she was really shaking, she was trembling. She said, I want you to know that 2 years ago I had a dream, and I heard your voice, and when I heard you singing tonight, I turned around and realized that it was you, your voice that I heard. And, you know, she didn't really have any words for it. All that she could express was, like, you had to have been an angel, which I knew what she meant in the spirit. And so, you know, to know that there's no time and distance when we're in the spirit, when we're in worship, there's no time and distance. And so that was probably really one of the most expressive radical moments, I would say, that I've experienced in worship, where someone I didn't know heard me in a dream 2 years prior to that, and the word that I released set them free. So, yeah, and the word that the Father released.
That's awesome. I mean, I know I wasn't raised up in a Pentecostal background. I was raised up in a Lutheran church when I was a kid, and to this day, it's unique to me to see how some of these things happen. I mean, I think the one we did in Hickory, North Carolina, was the first time I saw a prophetic singer. I saw it on Bethel Music, but I never saw one up close before. And it was Robert and Erica Jordan. They were singing, and they started worshiping and all that stuff. And I was walking in the back watching them sing and watching the audience, you know, enjoy. And then all of a sudden they started prophesying. I was like, man, this is awesome. And and I was like, they just called out things, and these guys was like, man, that's me. And somebody else was like, that's me. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then when y'all came to South Carolina, I started hearing some things. And my thing is, I could see in the spirit, so I could see what's kind of going on. It's kind of like when that type of music starts, it's like the Holy Spirit just overflows the audience. I just see it, boom, and you can feel it.
Yes.
And I was like, man, there's something awesome going on here. And I noticed, I also noticed when I went to a church down here, Church of God we went to, and worship was going on, like you was talking about, Mitch, when worship was going on, I saw Jesus walking up through the crowd. He was just walking in. He was walking in and out. And he sat right in the seat. I said, I wonder if that woman knows the Lord sitting right beside her. I was just sitting there and watched what he was doing. It was awesome that, you know, during worship, like you said, man, he has freedom to go and move.
Yes.
And people's open to him. And I know that we went to the Dave Hogan over the weekend. And I was in worship, and I was just there worshiping with everybody, watching David Hogan. And all of a sudden, the Lord just hit me, and I was just, you know, a lot of things that's going on. You know, I've been getting revelations and stuff. And it's just awesome how God uses worship music to transform you. I'm telling y'all, you know, if you have never listened to real worship music, listen to a prophetic worship leader, and I tell you, you'll be moved into a different realm. And you'll feel the Lord moving over you. It's just not regular music like you listen on the radio. It's healing music. It's transforming music. And, you know, it's something different that you've got to listen to these people because they got this gift. This ain't just something they learned overnight or they went to a music class.
Right.
This is a gift that God gave them to, you know, to bring people close to Him. It's like an anointing gift, people close to Him, and it's a little bit different than just a regular song.
Yes, very much so.
But it's very awesome how that goes. Now, Mitch, how far have y'all been traveling in y'all's ministry? Y'all go all over the South, or y'all been all over?
we went all the way out of Texas and Arkansas. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, we went to Mexico for one day. We didn't get to stay that long. We still learned Spanish before we went. We just went on a whim one day and just sold everything we had and was going to move down there. And we stayed down there a little bit, not too long. And we went back to it. We went to a different location after that. But we go pretty much anywhere. We travel as a family most of the time because, like you said, my wife, she loves worship, and I'll share. And when we work as a family together, our kids come up, and my daughter sings with my wife sometimes. She's in an age now where she don't like to get in front of people and sing that much. But the boys will still help us at prayer time. They'll go around with us and pray for people. But when we minister as a family, and we just get to see, because we're always together and we always pray together and worship together, we get to see that everything flows from the worship to the messages to the prophetic words, whether it's coming from me, Amanda, one of the kids, or somebody else in the crowd. You know, no matter where we go, we just always see the Spirit of God show up and always see things happen. No matter what state in America we've ever been to, we've always seen Jesus show up and minister to people.
That's awesome. I know I heard a minister not too long ago said, I mean, I'm sure the anointing has always been a tent ministry, but he said the tent anointing is more stronger now than it's just like it was back in the old days when they had tent meetings, that anointing is coming back stronger now. And I've never been to many tent meetings, but, you know, I've heard of a lot of unique things that came out of these tent meetings and a lot of healings, a lot of spiritual transformation. And, it's an awesome thing, but now when y'all go and travel around, you know, what do y'all notice about different areas, the need that these people need?
Well, I know for me, going into different states and cities and everything like that, right now the need for everywhere we go is unity. There's a lot of division that has happened over time through congregations and churches, and that's one thing that we're definitely seeing right now is God reconciling the body together, because, you know, we can't we can't do this thing on our own. We need each other. We each play a part and share. You know, we're all partakers of Jesus. And, I have a part that, you may not have, and you have a part that Mitch may not have, and it all flows together and works together. So I would definitely say that everywhere we're going right now, God is stirring hearts to be more unified, putting aside differences to really see the love of God and unity flow, because that's where he says in his word that he commands the blessing and favor in that land to flow, is when we come together in unity. So
with me, one of the things I've noticed the most, especially in the recent last few years, is leadership. The leadership is so, they're so burnt out. They're so discouraged. They're so just that, that we've been fed all these books and all these prayers and all these things about how to make things happen. And those things aren't really in the Bible. We're just twisting scripture to make it sound good, to make a buck. And most of the leaders and the pastors are just needing is they're just needing somebody to come in and to show them a fresh revelation of Jesus, to show them that Jesus is not about a book. It's not about a special sermon. It's about really just becoming one again, because we're going to marry this guy. This man is going to be our husband. We are the bride of Christ. And we, for so long, he's been treated like he's not the husband. He's just a source of power, a source of authority. And that's not what it's all about. It's all about that personal relationship. And everywhere we seem to go, most of the church leaders are completely burnt out and discouraged and aren't seeing a lot of activity, so they don't know what to do. So, and we get to come in and personally, I've noticed that one service doesn't really cut it for us, because one service doesn't do much. You come in, you speak, you may have a few healings, a few prophetic words, some people get saved, but it's not really enough, because some people, they're just so burnt out. They're so discouraged that when they look at that, the message that we bring of hope, of life, of a fresh relationship with Jesus, and they're like, that's great, but I don't think it can happen to me. But then when we immerse them, it's just relationship. In the daytime, we get to meet with the pastors. We get to fellowship with them. And we just get to show them that's all we do is love on Jesus. And it shows in our life. It shows in the reality of who we are. And it affects them. And by affecting the leaders, we transform the churches.
That's awesome, man. I know one thing that I heard, a evangelist or a guy said over the weekend, he's like, yeah, evangelist comes in and we go and rip up the crowd and pray for them and this and that, and crazy things happen. Then we hand it over to the pastor and let him sort through it. And I was like, no, you don't do that.
Right.
I said, you've got to pray for the people, help the minister understand himself, and then just give them something to work on. I mean, you don't go there and do something where they don't know what's going on. You got to get them all on the same page where you make a change in their ministry. You don't want a one-day thing, and they're like, what was that? But you want them,
right.
You want to be on the same page. And I know that's, I heard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just like, us having that one-on-one relationship with the Lord. It's also about our relationship with one another. For us, we don't just go anywhere. Like when we were in Texas, the Lord extended our stay there for about 2 weeks this past summer. And, we had certain leaders call us up and want us to come minister at the church. And we said, wait a minute, no, like we want to come meet you first. We want to fellowship with you first. We want to build a relationship with you first, because like Mitch was saying, if we have a relationship with the leaders and we pour into them and encourage them, it's going to then affect their church without us even having to come to minister. So it's really about relationship for us. We want to be in relationship and connection with people. And, again, I know I already said it, but again, it's the unity of it. It's the body coming together and encouraging and edifying one another. And, we see a lot of fruit from that.
That's awesome. like I was, like Mick was saying a while ago, you know, how y'all go in and talk with the pastors and the ministering people around there. And I really think that's really important too. But like I said, you know, not just go in there and do your thing, come out, but make an impact on the minister and the crew at the church, where they will understand what you're doing, where they can be on the same page as you when you go in there and do an evangelism thing. I think that's really important. And it's showing the love of Christ to them and letting them see how you flow, and then letting the congregation see what happens, and then help change them for a whole, not just for a few people that shows up, but for the whole, who, you know, will transform the whole church. And that's what, you know, it seems like y'all's ministry is to help transform the body of Christ, where everybody will fall into unity. And that's awesome, guys. That's awesome. And
yeah, well, for the most part, with us, we keep in contact with all of the bodies that we go to. You know, all the pastors and stuff, we're always in connection with them, always, you know, calling and talking with them and seeing how things are going. And just we're there for them. You know, it's not like we come in and we leave. We're there. Even though we're here, we could be a couple hundred miles away, they know they can pick the phone up. And because we've made that relationship, they know they can trust us. They can trust us to not just say stuff off the tip of our tongue, but that we're in prayer all the time, and we will pray about it, and we will get guidance from God, and we can share, even a couple of thousand miles away, we can share over the phone, you know, godly wisdom and godly knowledge that he's given us, and we can help, you know, lead and help direct them and help give them understanding and keep them, and keep them fresh and alive, even when we're not there, that we can just always, yeah, serve them and be able to give to them without having to ask them give to us or pay us to come there or anything like that. They can just call us and we can talk, or most of them know, even if they had no money to give, if they called us and we need you guys to come, and because we're in a relationship, we would know, we would understand, and we would just give and just go. Without expecting anything in return, we would just go and serve them to help them, because it's not about their church or this church. It's about the body of Christ. And if the body is hurting over there and we have a fix for it, then we should go and help them and serve them and help, you know, rebuild whatever's taking place, help heal it.
That's awesome. Now, what area of North Carolina are y'all from?
We're from South Carolina. We're actually from Georgetown, which is about 45 minutes south of Myrtle Beach.
Okay, South Carolina. That's awesome. Now, I know in South Carolina right now is a lot of stuff going on, you know, from the shooting and all that stuff. How has y'all's ministry have been impacting that?
Well, we were actually able to join with Frontline Ministries with Tammy Sutherland right after that, all that, you know, stuff started taking place. And we went again, had a tent where we, you know, just went in and worshiped and prayer and everything. And was able to pray with the people on the street and stuff. And we actually had the opportunity to pray with one of the victim's brothers. And, you know, so that really impacted me personally, but also it, you know, knowing what that had taken place just right after the response, you know, I'll let Mitch share a little bit of his take on that, but, you know, for us, like, we have a burning passion for South Carolina, and we really believe that the more that stuff like that begins to take place, the more, again, it's going to unify the body. It's going to, you know, we all know that as it gets darker, the light just gets brighter, you know, and so we're actually really stirred, and we know that awakening is taking place in South Carolina. We're really excited for the days ahead for it.
That's awesome. Mitch?
What's that?
Okay. What is it?
Okay. As far as, you know, how it's changed anything, for the most people around here in South Carolina, it didn't really, I mean, I know the enemy wanted it to cause a bunch of anger and a bunch of sadness, but it didn't really do that because the communities around here responded to it with love. They didn't respond with throwing of rocks and tipping cars and burning buildings. They responded in love and prayer. And I know that the South Carolina community, they just nipped it in the butt within 24 hours. There wasn't an issue of if we're going to riot. The issue was, how are we going to solve any more problems that may come up from it? Can we, out of love, just show that South Carolina is different? And they respond, the communities around here responded so well that, I mean, there was no need for, there was no violence there. And what violence was around, the community actually supported the police department in removing those people that came. There was no local people that tried to cause violence. People traveled from out of the state to come here to try to cause violence, and the local community all gathered together and said, we're not having a part of that. And love was just shown, and love won in this case. Yeah, people's lives was taken, but they were taken in a scenario that, I mean, it was completely, of course, it was not expected. It was tragic in the aspect of a life, but in the aspect of Jesus, their lives was giving in a place of worship. And it's happening all around the world. There's martyrs dying, 500 a day around the world, and it's just now starting to hit the brinks of America, and it's just the start of what's going to happen. It's not the end. It's just the start of what's coming to this country.
Yeah, I know that, you know, what was so awesome, normally the first of something like that is when you see the truth, and then after a couple of days or a week, that's when the news starts adding their crap or their lies into it. Yeah. And I noticed the very first of it, you know, they was talking about how the community was coming together and all the good stuff, and all of a sudden, I guess the news guys got together, hey, man, we're going to make this sound a lot worse than what it is, where we get more listens. And all of a sudden, you start hearing crap. And it kind of just set a fire underneath me. I just like to go down there and just tell the news people, hey, man, you need to be, you know, trying to produce love in people, not trying to, you know, put fires and try to cause hatred. Because I said, guys, you don't know what you're doing with this crap. And, you know, it was so awesome how the community, like you said, the community came together and really, you know, changed things. And, you know, I saw how the Lord activated right off when this happened, how he started working on the people and really started to, you know, show, you know, his people show their faces, show who they really are, because during tough times like this is what really shows who you really are. And,
right.
That's the biggest thing there.
Yeah, amen.
It's awesome how that stuff works. But anyway, you know, it just happens like that, you know, and everybody's life is like when you fall in hard times, that's when Jesus needs to show, you know. And a lot of times some people don't show that when they go through hard times. Jesus don't show. It's normally the worst side of them. But it's that time where Jesus stands up and really reveals himself. And a lot of times, some of us hardcore Christians, when hard times come and we know the enemy's kicking us, we want to kick him even harder and kick him in his teeth. So we'll do something outstanding. Go out and pray for a lot more people.
yeah, come on. Well, I know, this time last year, you know, I'll let Mitch share a little bit of it, but just from my viewpoint and my perspective, Mitch was, he had gotten very sick. And we just continue to travel. We continue to minister. We continue to just push and just, you know, continue to go and travel and everything. And he, you know, he got really, really sick. He ended up in ICU with heart failure and really, really bad case of pneumonia. A virus attacked his heart, and they didn't know how to treat it or anything like that. And so he was in ICU for a little while in November. And we're coming up almost a year from that. And I remember being in the emergency room with him, and, you know, the ER doctor, you know, came up to us. You know, they, you know, as soon as I got into the ER, you know, they took one look at him and was like, he's in bad shape. So we're in the ER room, and the doctor comes in, and he was like, you know, you're in heart failure. We're going to take you to ICU. And that was in that moment, I had the choice to either accept that and accept, you know, and responding in fear, or I had the choice to say, I'm not going to respond to that, and I know that he's going to be okay. And so there was a moment there for me to really speak truth, and I just remember looking at Mitch, and the only words I said to him was, we are okay, you know. And from that moment, I never responded to fear, you know, all the things that they came in. It was like, he's going to have a heart transplant. You know, if he has a heart transplant, you know, they only, you know, his age is only lasts 15 years. He's never going to be able to do anything or travel or, you know, anything like that again. And they just kept coming in with these words and everything like that. And I just, you know, really made a choice and point in my heart to not respond to those words, but to just respond to what I know to be truth. And that is just the Father's heart for us. I knew it was something that he wanted us to go through, to draw us closer to him, even in those moments, and actually just more compassion. From that moment on, we had even more compassion for those, for people around us who were sick in body and going through things. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, it really shows when you go through these things who you really are. And I know a lot of us – you know, sometimes we go through a hard time, and we could be a little cranky, but we get over it and we start showing who Christ is. And,
yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, anybody can be happy and joy during good times. I mean, anybody can do that. But during hard times is what really shows what you really are, because that's our testing time to see who we are and where we are. And
yeah.
We learn from these rough times. And like I said, you know, America has been kindly slowed down. We're stuck in our own selves. We're worried about our finances. We're always worrying about, you know, moving our kids from one place to another, to all their karates and all that type of ordeals and school functions and all that. We're so stuck on ourselves that we need to wake up. And what's going on now, I really feel it's waking up the United States. We're waking up. The big giant is actually waking up. We've saw a lot of things going on overseas, but we're like, hey, that's overseas. That ain't us. Why should we worry? And then all of a sudden, we're starting to see things happen here. And it's starting
right.
to stir us all. And we're like, hey, there's something. Well, we need to step up. Then we hear about ISIS and all those other things, and we're like, hey, this is crazy. You know, we got some of these, you know, there's things going on here. And we start to wake up to say we had enough. And a lot of times
right.
it takes something to this standard to wake us up, to tell us, you know, hey, we need to change. We need to change ourselves. We need to change our communities. We need to make this more of a biblical type of country. We need to go to what worked, what our country was built on, what our country was set up to do, because our lives is awful. You know, we need to make a change, because what we're seeing in our communities now is just not right. I mean, you could just, this people is not even Christians are saying this is not right. I mean, it's just not right. We need more Christ in our communities. We need, you know, the backbone, what created our country. You know, Christians coming over trying to worship the way they was want to worship, instead of being told to worship one certain way and worship way the Word of God told us to worship. And that's how our community and that's how our country was started. And, you know, everything was heading in the right way, and then all of a sudden we just forgot everything. We got into what you want to call a kind of like, you know, our minds just got cluttered. I mean, we're just stuck in the same old, same old, and sometimes it takes something to actually wake us up to be who we're supposed to be. And I really feel that a lot of these things that's going on is waking us up. I mean, it's bad, and don't get me wrong, it is bad. But I really feel that this here is going to change our country for the better. And some of the things
yes.
that our eyes have been blinded to, you know, like it's gay marriage and all these other things, and that we're just like, hey, that's all right. And then you go amongst your everyday thing and you just ignore it. But there's other things going on that's waking people up. Hey, where is the United States like it used to be? Where is it, you know, the good times? It's not here. I mean, the families are being destroyed, you know, relationships are being destroyed, you know, just because of their lifestyles, just because we're allowing things to happen that we used to not to. And a lot of times we got to step on a pedestal and say, hey, enough is enough. And I really feel that that's the way it is with the church body. We have let so much things go. And I was listening to, trying to think of the old God's general that I was listening to. He's talking about, you know, he got actually real strict with this. He said, you got the Christians going to the hellhole, and you got the churches looking like the hellhole. You see the game rooms, the Christians in the game rooms, and they bring the games to the church, and the church and the world look so much alike that you can't tell the difference anymore. And, you know, the church needs to look like the church and get into worship of God, not like, you know, looking like the world. And I saw the church look more like the world every day. I'm like, hey, what is this? I'm like, well, you know, what's going on here? And, you know, and then we're talking about the worship leaders and the churches going, you know, that they're getting burnt out. They're getting burnt out. They don't know what to do. That's because, you know, I really feel that it's just that the church is in doing so many things. I mean, church is doing yoga. You know, they're doing Pilates and they're doing all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, this is weird, you know. And they're doing so many other things. And I'm like, hey, we need to worship. Have a worship night, you know. Have the people come worship the Lord one night. Have a prayer meeting night. Not just doing worldly things. And it's just crazy to see what's being put in these churches. And Christ isn't being pushed more out of his own house and adding more things instead of him. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just seeing how these things happen. And I think that's really important for you guys to come in and show these churches what they need to do and about the love of Christ. I mean, I really feel that a lot of people have put, you know, more of, you know, a religious background on church instead of the love of Christ. I'm going to hand it to you, Mitch.
Well, the biggest thing the American church has is, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things going on inside of our buildings that, you know, wouldn't have happened 70 years ago, but we also live lifestyles we wouldn't have lived 70 years ago. I mean, it all starts at the very bottom of the foundation of everything. And most of your children don't even have parents because both parents work all the time, and the children never see them. We're letting the government raise them in school. We're doing so many things that are so far off the Bible to start with, but the number one thing that, you know, like you were saying, we need to have more worship, that's not really the case. The problem is we're not in love with Jesus outside of the building. See, the building was never intended to be the only place of worship. In Acts, the disciples would meet in the synagogues in the morning, but then they would gather every evening in their homes, and they grew there with the statue of God, is what it says in Acts chapter 2 in the last 10 verses. It says they grew in their homes with the favor of God because they weren't stuck to a building, weren't stuck to a place. They were growing with the person they were in love with. See, a lot of the times we look and we're like, we only worship when we're in church. We only read our Bible when the pastor says open up to a certain verse. But then there's coming a generation who we're in love with Jesus. We're in love with the person of Jesus, not the concept, not the idea, not the ideology of Jesus, not the building of Jesus, because the church is nothing but sticks or metal. We are the house of God because we're the temple of God. The New Testament says that he dwells inside of us. Inside of us is where we have to build up the kingdom of God. It's where we have to acknowledge Jesus is that he's in us, he's in us. We are the temple of Christ. And if we don't overflow with Christ, we can't expect that building to overflow. Because Paul, they didn't take apart buildings and mail them to people so they would get healed. They actually took the sweat rags of Paul, because the temple of Paul sweated out the glory of God. And inside of us, we should be releasing the glory of God. We should never look to a building or to an organization to do it. is the bride of Christ has to rise in who she is. She's not a denomination. She's not an organization. She's not a group of people. She's individual people that are all around the world by the billions. That is the bride of Christ. And when she arises to who she is in every individual person, then we change nations. But we can only change what we're in charge of. We're only in charge of ourselves.
I think, you know, what kind of boils down to is, you know, when we talk about, you know, the book of Acts and the apostles, the disciples, all those things or whatever, the one thing that they had down to an art almost was to not compartmentalize the gospel. They didn't compartmentalize God. They didn't, you know, they didn't put God in a box over here or anything like that. They literally, their life was an everyday relationship with him, which it goes back to where we first started this conversation about relationships. And that's what it all comes down to. It comes down to, you know, a lot of times, you know, like Mitch was saying, like we have, you know, we have worship nights or prayer nights, or we have like a worship movement or a prayer movement or a healing movement. And all those are great. That's awesome. But I believe what God is doing in this hour is he's saying, don't compartmentalize me in the marketplace. Don't say I'm just this in worship or I'm just that in prayer or there's only healing this way. He's in everything. He's in our everyday life. We are in constant communication with Holy Spirit. We are in constant relationship, constant abiding and resting and walking with him. And he's just bringing the body back to the beginning where it all started, in the garden where he walked and talked with us, you know, daily with Adam and Eve. He walked and talked with them. He met with them. And I believe that in this hour, that is what he's saying. He's saying, will you walk with me in the cool of the day? Will you talk with me in the cool of the day? He's always been there. His arms are wide open. He's literally right there 24/7 with us. And we are outside of time. Time is not an issue. You know, we feel the urgency of things that he's doing, and we're feeling the stirring, and we're feeling the shaking and rattling going on, which is just the sound of awakening. The shaking and rattling is a sound of awakening. But only when the bones started coming together, you know, we talk about the valley of dry bones. When the bones started coming together and the flesh started fashioning, it was only then, after we came together, that God breathed his breath. You know, and I believe that we have been in that place of the shaking and rattling, and I believe we have a little bit more to go, but then after that, God's going to breathe his breath of life into us again, into the body. Like you were saying, the sleeping giant is waking up, and I believe that we're going to have such revelation of this personal relationship with Jesus and with Holy Spirit. You know, just like, you know, the disciples would ask Jesus, they're like, you know, let us see the Father. And he was standing right there in front of them. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You know, a lot of times we're asking Jesus, you know, we want to see you, want to see you. And Holy Spirit is saying, if I am with you, Jesus is with you. You know, so we can't compartmentalize Holy Spirit. He is in everything. Like for me, you know, being a wife and a mother with my children, when I'm with my children, it's Jesus. It's worship. When I'm homeschooling them, it's worship. When I'm washing the dishes, it's worship. When I'm, you know, talking with my husband, it's holy, it's worship, it's just that everyday communication and not putting him aside in anything that we say or do, because he is in everything.
Amen. We got, I don't know how long this thing has been on recording, but it's been awesome, guys, and I really agree with you. You know, it's we are all the church, and I really feel back years ago, years ago, when the body of Christ really went out and did things for the community, and it kind of stopped a little bit. And I really believe a lot of these little home churches is popping up everywhere is where it's, I mean, the book of Acts, it wasn't a big church. It was little home groups. And disciples had them everywhere. And I really think that's where we're going to start again. And the real Spirit of God is going to start opening up in people and let them know that you are the church. It's not a building. Like you said, it's not a building. It's you. And it's just, you know, reflecting Christ is what it is. But it's been awesome talking to you two. And been an amazing interview and get to hear both of y'all minister and talk about y'all's lives, and I'm sure this show is going to help a lot of people.
Amen.
Amen.
Do y'all have a website you would like to, for people to check out?
We do. It's holydesperationministries.org.
Okay. What do people do to get y'all to come out to their church? Y'all have a number?
There's the numbers are on there. They can hit us up on the website. There's email addresses on there. They can get us at Facebook or they can call us. I mean, my cell phone number is 843-240-4870. You know, they can feel free to call and talk, and we'll just, you know, every time we get an invite, we pray about it and see what God wants, and we just see how he orchestrates and how he wants it to happen. Like I said, they can, you know, there's a few different ways they can email or they can call or they can Facebook us or whatever, but we'd be gladly hear from people and gladly pray for people and anything like that. And people that are listening that are discouraged and they're, you know, right now they're just like, well, how can this be? You know, I would just challenge you to just stop doing all the stuff you're doing and just sit in a chair and get you a cup of coffee or a soda or a glass of tea and just sit there and have a picnic with Jesus.
Yeah.
See, that's where it all starts, right there where we've lost it. It starts at that very special place in the garden in the cool of the day. It says that the Father would come down and walk with them. And you want to start that fresh new walk with God, that's all you got to do is just get something and have a special cool glass of something to drink and just have a sweet picnic with Jesus, and he will restart everything inside of you because his love captivates.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's where it all starts, is a relationship with Christ and let him, you know, renew you daily and have that complete relationship with him. But, you know, it's great for people like y'all to come and reveal this to people. I mean, they should already know it. It's in the Word of God, but people just kind of overlook that. They just listen to what they've been preached, or they just, you know, they take the preacher's word for it. They don't want to take the Word's word for it. And just, you know, open up your Bible and read it and take it to heart. I saw so many people that's never been to church that picked up the Word of God and did what it said and watched God do tremendous miracles to them. And then they go to church and like, how are you doing that? Well, I'm just doing what it said for me to do. And it's awesome. Just build a relationship with Christ and just read the Word of God and let him change you. You know, that's what it's all about right there. And do find a local church, you know, that has the same type of belief you do, and really let them help guide you and find a good Christian friend that helps you and holds you accountable and really helps guide you in many different ways. And you'll know who they are when you run into them. You'll feel the presence of God on them, and you'll be like, that's the one. And just have them to help guide you. And it's always important to have a friend in Christ to help you. And that's one thing always, because some people do it on their own, and it can be hard. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. Get Holy Spirit filled. He will guide you. It's always good to have a physical friend there to help you too. It always helps.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing, guys, and interviewing y'all and getting to hear y'all's story. And you know, this thing's gonna touch a lot of people, and I appreciate it. And it's been a very awesome interview. And thanks for doing the South Carolina event, guys. Y'all did a great job, and maybe we see y'all in the future.
Yes, sir. And like I said, thanks for having us. It was great. It was fun. And we do pray that, you know, this, just us sharing our hearts with you and you talking back with us, just it helps. If it's just one person, it'll help one person just fall back in love with Jesus is awesome.
It's worth it all. And I know Chuck McDonald, he did the event there with David Hogan. He's on the road right now. Normally he's on here with me. And he's on the road. He's going to be back next week here on the show. But he's been pretty busy. He's an awesome guy. He really
likes to move and worship. What was so awesome about him is I didn't really, I've heard him preach, but I never heard him play. And everybody talking about how he plays. I never heard of you. But I heard him do a worship thing. Now, man, you're good. I didn't know you could play like that.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I was like, man, I was like, you got a CD? Yeah, I've had them on the table all the time. You just walked by them. I was like, man, I didn't.
Yeah, we love you know, Chuck and Cherie. They're awesome. We consider them family, and we love what God is doing through them right now. And Brother David Hogan, we love him and his ministry. We have some friends who are missionaries under him in Mexico that's been there with him for about 12 years. So, you know, Chuck and Cherie gave me the awesome opportunity to really to be their worship leader for about, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe a little bit more than a year. I can't really remember, but during that time, it really helped me grow as a worshiper. You know, Chuck really supported the prophetic in me, and he just allowed me to just plow the ground in what I would consider, you know, prophetic worship and everything with them. So we really, really cherish them and what God's doing through them right now.
Yeah, it was kind of unique when I saw him up or his direction, y'all, what to play. I was like, he can do that too? That's cool. So I was like, he tries to get me to believe that he only wants to be a evangelist, but he never has told me about the rest. I mean, I heard his play, but I didn't know he did all of that. And I was like, this is awesome, man. So I'm going to have you play at most of my events. He's like, no, man,
yeah.
I want to preach, man. But I was like, that's cool. But it's awesome to have a friend like that, and it's awesome to have, you know, friends in Christ, and how God advances your ministry and combines all the ministries and let us do what we're supposed to do is preach the word of God and get people's eyes open to what God is doing in the community and what he's doing with them. And I know that a lot of people, they really feel like when they're in the worst times that, you know, God's so far away. Most of the times, he's closer with you. You just don't really realize that. He's really working on you.
Yeah, it's in his word. It says that he's close to the brokenhearted.
That's it. And he's really with you. And I won't tell anybody out there that's going through hard times, you know, God is right there with you. And it's awesome. I mean, me and my family, we've been going through a little something with my oldest daughter and stuff, and God was so close to us, and through different things, you know, God is real close with us. He'd bring joy to us. We'd all start falling in laughter in the car, and God was just having fun with us. And I could just feel the Lord just helping us and pushing us through. And I'm telling you, everybody needs that. Everybody needs the Lord to help them through. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee you that you're going to have a perfect life all the time, because he never did promise that. He didn't promise a perfect life. And there's a lot of people think this world, oh, God's over it. Yeah, God made this world, but the enemy is the ruler of this world. And what we don't understand is he don't like us. He don't like us. And he ain't gonna give us an easy ride. They forget about that.
Right.
Now there's gonna be one day when Christ is gonna take over everything. He's gonna get rid of the enemy and he's gonna rule. But it's not here completely yet. And we've got to understand that we still got to be the people that's plowing the ground for the Lord and showing them who he is and what he is and wanting them to be more like us. When we go and read our Bibles and we do our Christian thing and then we act like the world, it pushes people away. But when you act like Christ, you bring more people in, because what you do every day is what shows people who God is. And I guarantee you, you're going to have people looking at you, and they're going to be staring at you and saying, what? Man, that's neat. I wouldn't have acted like that when I was in that situation. And you keep on doing that, and they change, and they see, hey, what church do you go to? You know, or what do you do to be like that? And you can, you know, witness and tell them about Christ. Hey, I believe Christ lives in me. I'm the church. You know, do you want to learn how to be like this? And then, you know, lead them to Christ, and it's the easiest way. And signs and miracles is great. I mean, I saw a lot of signs and miracles and prayed for a lot of people. I love doing that and love showing that. But that's not everything. That is a big part of it. And when you pray for somebody to get healed, they can't deny it. They can't say, hey, Jesus, because their leg is healed. They can't deny that.
Right.
So I mean, it's all a witnessing tool, and it all comes together for the better good. But then again, you know, guys, I really appreciate y'all coming on here, and we kind of get off here because we're running out of time. But you know, God bless y'all, and keep in touch. And like I said, I'm sure this show is going to touch a lot of people, guys.
Amen. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, y'all have a blessed weekend.
You too, man.
I can't.